Hello, friends. This is Brett, one of your co-hosts for the Cinema Rewind podcast. But I am solo today. We are going to try something new. Kyle and I, we want to have a little occasional bonus episode, kind of a movie corner, where we talk about other movies outside of the season we're currently recording together, where we talk about the other movies we're watching. The movies that maybe are coming out now, older movies we just happened to catch, movies we watched on a plane on the way to a vacation, those kinds of things. So that's what this is going to be. I'm going to try it out, and we'll see how things go. I am recording a voice memo on my phone, so the high quality audio content that you're used to getting may be slightly diminished. And of course, I'm joking. Our audio. We are still working out a lot of bugs, so thank you for your patience with us as we try to figure these things out. But yeah, I wanted to talk about a few movies. Now, what I envision these bonus episodes being, this is going to be very different than the regular feed of the podcast. You're accustomed to us going into the deep history, the history of the production and the people involved, the director, maybe the actors. That's not happening right now. This is just going to be a list of a few movies that I have watched recently that I thought were fun or interesting or maybe that I didn't like. It is, what is, as I'm recording this, it is March 7th, 2022. We are in Oscar season, so I am actually making my way through each of the best picture nominations. I've done that a couple of times before in my life, but really just twice. And so this is the third time for me to, I've made a conscious decision. I'm gonna watch each of the 10 best picture nominations. I am almost done. I have seen 8 of them. I just have 2 remaining. Once I get those 2 done, I think I'll probably record another one of these to talk through those best picture nominations. Hopefully that'll be before the Oscars occur, but I'm not promising anything. So instead, I'm just going to talk about a couple movies that I've seen recently. First, In the Heights. In the Heights, it's John Chu's movie of Lin-Manuel Miranda's musical. Okay, so this is something we haven't really gotten into on the podcast. I'm a huge, huge musical fan. Stephen Sondheim is my main squeeze. He is someone that I just have admired for many years, and have done deep dives into. And we'll talk about Tick Tick Boom in a minute where he appears. But In the Heights is Lin-Manuel Miranda's first original musical that predated his hit Hamilton, which you probably have heard of. In the Heights is the one that he wrote before that, and it was the one that really established him as a Broadway star, Broadway royalty. He won all the Tonys the year that a musical came out. When it came out, I don't know. I'm not doing the research on this one. But I had listened to the cast album before, of original cast album for In the Heights, the musical, and it's just great. It's really electric. He's just Lin-Manuel Miranda. I mean, he has really been absorbed in our culture over the last couple of years, especially post Hamilton. What do you have? Moana, now you have Encanto. You have obviously Hamilton that blew up. His appearances on things like Curb Your Enthusiasm, and I think some people have begun to grow a little weary of him. He's just kind of everywhere. But man, he writes great music. He has an incredible sensibility for melody, for rhyme, for rhythm. And of course, I don't know that it's on better display than in his original show, In the Heights. It is a very personal show for him. It is his neighborhood, Washington Heights in Manhattan. And so he's telling, in some ways, a semi-autobiographical story, I think. Now, the story, the characters are and the situation are fictional, but I think the setting is something that is all too familiar to him. And so, and that really comes out. It's a fun movie. My criticism is it's too long. I think when you're adapting a musical, adapting any other work, you have to always think about it as an adaptation. You're not just trying to word for word, note for note, recreate the original. And of course, they didn't do that. But my goodness, it was long. And the last third or so was real to me, really, really slow. But the energy and the dancing, the choreography was just stunning. And they were able to capture, I think, the feel of that portion of New York City so well. The songs were great. The performances were just spot on. Lots of great performances from people that I had never seen before, and I think that's part of the point. And this is one of the things that I love about the possibility of good musicals adapted for screen is that you're able to feature actual stars who know how to sing and who know how to dance, who also know how to act. That you don't have to have the big marquee name to bring them in, where this was most egregiously violated for me was when I went to see Les Miserables, the musical movie adaptation, and you had Russell Crowe in one of the most important roles in all of 80s musical theater, Javert, Inspector Javert, played by Russell Crowe, just was so frustrating that this incredible role could have been given to some unknown person and performed beautifully and tragically, but instead they had to get a marquee name. You don't have to do that. Les Mis speaks enough on its own. It's going to draw people in. You don't need Russell Crowe to try to make your movie bigger. And I think that they did that pretty, they were pretty faithful to that in The Heights. There were no great marquee names. Anthony Ramos plays the lead. He was in the original cast of Hamilton, but not the main character. Who was he? He played Hamilton's son. He also played his best friend John. I mean, it wasn't a they didn't have huge names in this, and I appreciated that. I felt like I was seeing something close to a Broadway musical, which I liked. All right, In the Heights, great movie. Let's see, what else did I see? You know what? I recently watched, this is a different direction, movie Best in Show from 1990, oh, I don't know, 98, 99, something like that. Best in Show by Christopher Guest. Christopher Guest has been, since college, one of my favorite filmmakers. I love what he does. If you haven't seen any Christopher Guest movie, I implore you, please check those out. This isn't a Christopher Guest movie, but his first movie in his vein was called This Is Spinal Tap, which was made in the early 80s. excuse me, Rob Reiner, I believe, is the one who directed that. He also appears on camera as a director. But Christopher Guest is there in one of the lead roles, along with Michael McKean and Harry Shearer. Guys, I'm doing all this from memory. I'm looking at nothing. It's complete pitch black where I'm sitting. And are you impressed with me yet? Wow. I can't believe I'll keep recalling these people. So they made This Is Spinal Tap back in the early 80s, but it was, I believe it was Waiting for Guffman that was Christopher Guest's first foray into directing. He made Waiting for Guffman, which is about a local theater group, which was just so funny. It was so funny. And then I believe that was followed up with Best in Show, which is the one that I'm talking about now. Best in Show. Well, okay, so first, Christopher Guest, you probably know him best as the six-fingered man in The Princess Bride, another Rob Reiner joint. But he that's a very minor role for him. He made his own movies in a unique way. The idea in a Christopher Guest movie is that you have you have kind of an outline of a script. I guess that's probably the way to say it. You have very detailed, rich characters, and you get actors who know how to improv to play these characters. And so, in each scene, there's sort of a we need you to get from point A to point B, but do whatever you need to do to get there. And so, you have in Best in Show, you have Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara from Schitt's Creek fame more recently. This is way before that. And they play husband and wife in Best in Show. Parker Posey, Jennifer Coolidge, well, Christopher Guest himself, of course, Michael McKean, who's just so brilliant on the screen. Oh, Fred Willard, who makes me laugh about as much as anyone on screen, I think. So funny. And so Best in Show takes place in a dog show, the Philadelphia Cup. I can't remember what it's called, where they parade out each of their dogs. And these are just richly drawn characters who are quirky and funny. It's definitely a comedy. And I just think some of those comedic performances are among my favorites. I love people who can play off of one another in a way that's fun and interesting. And there's just a generosity on camera when you have folks who do that so well. And I think Christopher Guest brings out the best in his actors in those settings. Another one that I just watched, 1992, I think. A River Runs Through It. Robert Redford made this film, 1992, based on the Norman MacLean novella, I guess is what it is. It's a shorter story, but a novella called A River Runs Through It. A semi-autobiographical or fully autobiographical, I think. The story of Norman MacLean, who, as a boy, was raised in the, let's see, Bozeman, I believe. Nope, not Bozeman. Oh, you're yelling at your phone right now. I can't remember. Someplace in Montana, with his brother, the sons of a Presbyterian minister, who is played so beautifully by Tom Skerritt. I think that's his name. He's so good in that role. Who I read some description of the movie that his stern, their stern Presbyterian minister father. He's not. I don't see sternness at all in his depiction of this character. My goodness, he's such a loving father. This is one of my favorite intersections is going to be film and the depictions of various forms of Christianity. And I think Tom Skerritt's portrayal of this Presbyterian minister father is filled with grace and love and kindness and playfulness just he's just a good, seems to me, a very good father, and it also seems a good minister. They're played by boy the two boys are played by the younger brother is played by some unknown kid that I didn't know at least, but the our main character is played as a boy by a young Joseph Gordon-Levitt. In fact, it has, he has an introducing credit in the credits. But I should have looked this up, shouldn't I? The main character, Norman, is played by some man that is really great in this role. I don't know him from a lot. And his younger brother Paul is played by a young Brad Pitt. In fact, this is a pre Interview with a Vampire, pre Legends of the Fall, Brad Pitt, just I mean, this is, I think, 1 year after Thelma and Louise. Goodness gracious, excuse my voice. And I think he does fine. I love Brad Pitt. I think he does fine in this movie. He's not incredibly compelling. In fact, I was reading some things that he was saying. He doesn't like his performance in this movie either. But the movie itself, to me, is just this was not my first time to see it, but I think my second. I didn't remember a lot of the details of it, and it is just this is a father who teaches his two sons to fly fish. Norman, our main character, is an academic, a professor. His younger brother Paul, who's played by Brad Pitt, is a new becomes a newspaper man. But he's also a hard drinker, a gambler who gets into some pretty big trouble with his gambling. Who, but the three of them bond over fly fishing, and the Norman MacLean, who wrote the story, who is the main character, just writes about fly fishing so beautifully. It makes me want to fly fish. I've never fly fished before, but and then Robert Redford's direction and depictions of fly fishing. Oh my goodness, just so beautiful. Makes me want to go to Montana and fly fish. I thought the cinematography of this movie was beautiful. I thought the score of this movie was beautiful. I looked it up afterward. I can't find it, so if anyone knows how to get the score for A River Runs Through It, hit me up. But it's one of those movies that I feel like I could just turn on at any point and watch and be just taken away. It is such a beautiful, beautiful movie, with a lot of great action as well. Let's see. Another movie I saw, go back to the musicals I mentioned earlier, Tick Tick Boom. This one is actually directed by Lin-Manuel Miranda, based on a musical by Jonathan Larson. Jonathan Larson was the guy who was most famous for writing the musical Rent. And Rent came out in 1990. Whew, you know better than me. You could look it up. 92, something like that. And Jonathan Larson famously died, I believe, just before opening night, as a very, very young man. He was just over 30 years old. And pretty tragic story, but Tick Tick Boom was the musical he wrote before Rent, and it's about getting older, and by older, of course, he means turning 30. But the pressure that he has as an artist, as a writer, to create something that will last, that will that will ensure some sort of legacy. Starring Andrew Garfield as Jonathan Larson, because again, this is an autobiographical musical, so Jonathan Larson is the main character in the musical. And it, man, it was just fun. The music is just electric. I thought Lin-Manuel Miranda did a fantastic job of direction, capturing it's a difficult musical. I think I've never seen it, but it's my understanding a difficult musical to stage. There's not a lot of action to depict. There's a lot of just sitting on stage and telling a story, and I think Lin-Manuel Miranda was able to capture that in some compelling ways. The diner scene, of course, is really compelling. But that diner scene was especially fun for all of the cameos, the Broadway cameos. If you are a Broadway fan, you see some really, really fun people who I don't I can't I should have taken notes, shouldn't I? Joel Grey, I remember showing up there. I think Rita Moreno was there. Certainly I know several of the cast of Hamilton had made appearances. It just a very fun homage to Broadway, to Jonathan Larson, and most pointedly, to take it back to the beginning, Stephen Sondheim is played by Bradley Whitford, and he just does such a great job of capturing Sondheim's look and sound. It's just incredible. I was so impressed. Because Stephen Sondheim, who was a mentor to many younger Broadway artists, and one of those was Jonathan Larson, and everyone in the Broadway community in the 80s and 90s in particular looked up to Stephen Sondheim. And so Stephen Sondheim's support for Jonathan Larson was life-changing for him. And reportedly, there is a voicemail that Stephen Sondheim leaves for Jonathan Larson. Lin-Manuel Miranda played Bradley Whitford's version for Stephen Sondheim and said, "What do you think about this?" And he said, "I would never say that. Let me just record it." And so he recorded the voicemail. So the voicemail that you hear on Jonathan Larson's answering machine is actually the voice of Stephen Sondheim. And I believe it's got to be one of his very last roles ever on a screen, because, as you may know, Stephen Sondheim died this past November, much to the loss of all of us. Well, I think that's enough. I've been talking for about 20 minutes. Just a few movies. You know what? Let me know what you think. Let us know. I think Kyle's going to do something similar as well. We want to just give you a little bit additional content every once in a while. Some of this is just to get some movies off our chest and talk about them a little bit. But we are just grateful that you're following along with us. And we will be in your feeds every Thursday morning at 4 a.m. That's when our episodes drop. So if you don't, if you can, and if you haven't already, please go ahead and like and subscribe and review and all of that sort of thing. That helps us to let other people know about us when they search for movie podcasts. But anyway, so grateful for you guys. Hope you have a wonderful day today. Bye-bye.